Schools in the region have been vacant for a couple of months now, and the distance instruction period, if it hasn't already, will soon come to a close. Next fall? We just don't know for sure yet, but we can revisit some of the highlights of this interrupted academic year and some of the major players. The Oregon Teacher of the Year program recently named its regional finalists for the 2021 Teacher of the Year. They are named from the Education Service District serving each region. For the Douglas region, Beverly Scott, Life Sciences teacher at Riddle Junior Senior High School. Welcome, Beverly.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here this morning.
Good to have you. And for a big Southern Oregon region composed of Josephine, Jackson, and Klamath counties, the winner is Jordan Werner, physical education teacher at Riverside Elementary School in Grants Pass. Welcome, Jordan.
Thank you. Good morning.
It's good to have you both here. Beverly, let's talk about you. You usually teach life sciences. How did you settle on that subject area?
It took a while to get here, and I'm so pleased that I am. But I had a son who was a conjoined twin, and that led me into the medical field. And just eventually after serving in many different arenas, I started teaching in the medical field, and that's where I discovered that teaching bug. Although I think like a lot of young, a lot of our young students, they want to be a teacher, but it just took a while for me to get there. And so I did go back as an adult, went back to school with my son, and we both got our teaching experience, and just happened to come across this wonderful opportunity to teach in Riddle, where I get to not only do what I love to do, but also share some of that medical experience and help facilitate with a dual credit class for several of our students.
So you came with a lot more depth, perhaps, than or at least a lot more life experience than some other teachers.
I know we all have our experiences. And for me, it was this epiphany that came and hit, and just so privileged to be here. I started out in the military after high school, wonderful journalism and marketing experience there, but this is my love. I'm grateful.
How much harder is it, Beverly, to teach remotely?
I think the challenge is that my dual credit students come in every day and I get to see them and have that interchange. But for our other students, they don't have perhaps that same desire because they're not getting that college credit. So I still see my students, not all of them. I was on the phone on Saturday reaching out to many of my junior high students, and today I get to reach out to those that are in my high school biology class. So it's a bit challenging, but I've got to tell you, I love the virtual process. I love when they log in and I can see their faces and hear their voices. It's wonderful.
Huh. Yeah, that must be like watching a scoreboard light up. It's like, ooh, here they come.
Yeah, they love to share what's going on in their lives, and it's a great way to socialize with them as well right now.
That's great. Jordan Werner, physical education, it's for everyone, I noticed you saying on the Riverside School website. How work to include all kids?
Say what? I'm sorry. Repeat that.
I noticed that your quote about physical education, it's for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I got into physical education, to be completely honest, I went into college with the mindset of like, hey, I'm going to get paid to play dodgeball all day long. And that was the wrong mindset. I was lucky enough to go through a program with professors that kind of showed me like, hey, this is what it should really look like. And that opened my eyes to the fact that every kid deserves the right to be able to move and to understand the importance of movement and really find a value in physical activity. My goal is to try to center my program around physical literacy. Physical literacy is the ability to move with competence and confidence in a wide variety of physical activities in multiple environments that benefit the healthy development of the entire person. So kind of from that, I try to, with my curriculum, make things as holistic as possible. I don't play dodgeball. I don't play any of the any human target activities for multiple reasons. Just trying to create an individualized learning experience for students so that they can see what is important to them and have some take some ownership in the program and in the classes and find something that they value that they'll hopefully pursue outside of school. I mean, that's my job. My big goal is to get every kid and to give every kid a reason to love movement after they leave my school, when they go on to middle school, and then hopefully carry that with them through high school and then into their adult lives.
Mm-hmm. So movement with or without a ball or racket or glove or any of that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we do cover those things. I also teach some, we call them lifestyle physical activities. You know, there's things that are close to my school. You know, for example, Riverside, where I teach, is the closest in proximity to our local skate park. So I was lucky enough to be able to teach skateboarding. I teach skateboarding to my students. I teach unicycling to my students. This year we started teaching archery. We have an archery club. And next year I'll be teaching snowboarding to my younger kids. So just trying to give them as many lifestyle opportunities as possible, you know, because honestly, not every person goes out in their adult life and goes on to play basketball or goes on to play football. That's a very small percentage. So I try to focus on things that can be directly related to students' lives right now.
Talk about, have you been doing any kind of physical education instruction remotely?
Yeah. There's six elementary schools in my district, and we work together as a team to meet, discuss, and then each week we produce a week's worth of activities for the district for all six elementary schools. And each day looks a little bit different. We have we'll have a yoga day, we'll have a dancing day, a manipulative skill day. One day I did I set up some of my son's toys and dribbled around them like a soccer ball and kicked into the door, you know. And then most recently, one thing that I thought was really neat was one of my colleagues did a tutorial on how to change a bike tire, you know. So just trying to give kids different pieces of activity, but then also throw in some, you know, some life lessons and some life skills there too.
We are talking to Jordan Werner, a Riverside Elementary School teacher in physical education in Grants Pass, the Southern Oregon Jackson Josephine Klamath County Teacher of the Year, Beverly Scott from Riddle Junior Senior High School Life Sciences Teacher, the Douglas Regional Teacher of the Year. They are both finalists for the 2021 statewide winner to be announced in the fall. Questions, comments, welcome here on the Jefferson Exchange. Maybe one of your kids has these people for a teacher. Join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I know I'm spending a lot of time talking about distance teaching, but it's a major thing right now. And when you stop and think about the things that you think make for a good teacher, do you lose something, Beverly Scott, by not having that close physical proximity of students? Although you said you do get to visit with them face-to-face sometime.
We lose a little bit. There's so many of our students that when they're in the classroom, they really excel, and they're struggling a bit right now with having to manage their own time, maybe helping out with their siblings while their parents are at work. So it's a challenge, and we do miss something there, but we really do our best to reach out. And it helps to have, much like Jordan has talked about working with his colleagues, we do the same thing here. I'm blessed to have the best, or what I'd like to say is the best teaching partner. And it makes a world of difference as to what we can do and help provide with the kids.
So, Jordan, talk about, sounds like you try so many different things with the students anyway, that a lot of throw things against the wall and see what sticks. And is it a similar sort of process with the distance learning?
Honestly, the way that we planned our distance learning was really just myself and one of my other colleagues got together and just had a conversation what can we do to make this work, first of all, for our kids as best we can, but then also work with parents and if we have colleagues that don't know how to navigate through some technology stuff, how can we make this as easy as possible for them? And that's been, as going forward, the one of the most important things or the key things that we try to focus on is, can we make these activities, can we make these resources something that you can do in a tiny space? You know what? Not everybody has access to a sports field or a big backyard. I mean, I myself don't have a backyard where I live. So everything that I've done in this little spare room of mine, or outside on the sidewalk. So taking into those considerations, and then after, you know, through that, also providing modifications. Hey, if you do have access to the outside, this is what this activity could look like. It really is just trying to give kids as much different opportunities as possible even during this crazy period of time that we're going through in education.
Mm-hmm. And Jordan, how did Grants Pass end up your destination? Are you from there originally, or what was the pathway?
Yeah, I'm actually born and raised here. I graduated in 2007 from Grants Pass High School. And, you know, honestly, when I was finishing my master's program, looking for a job, there was a job available in Pendleton and a job available back here. And I figured, oh, I'll head home if I can. So, and you know, that worked out, and I'm lucky and I'm grateful that I get to come back to my hometown and my home community and, you know, can continue to make an impact on these students, you know, as somebody that's been through the D7 school system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really District 7, yeah, okay. Beverly Scott, you're not from Riddle, though, right? How did you end up there?
You know, I'm not. I actually graduated from Yosemite High School in California and had a job opportunity in my hometown that, in essence, moved me to Oregon. And as much as I miss my hometown, Oregon just has a special place in my heart. I've been here for about 10 years now. And when I was looking for work, Riddle had a great position, and it just, you know, it evolved from there, and I've been here now for 6 years.
Talk about the challenges of teaching in a high-poverty district. I mean, Riddle's been cuffed around quite a bit, particularly by the downfall in the timber industry in the last few decades.
You know, I grew up in a small town, too, with a small district, so, you know, a lot of the things that I saw then, I'm seeing now. We work really hard with our community members, our parents. There are wonderful entities here that help out when they can. The Ford Family Foundation has been a great help, and they're working with us right now to create some hands-on science things that we can send out to our students to better keep them engaged.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's that working together, working with the community, and that's been a huge plus for us.
We've been talking, obviously, about your teaching stuff because you're here because you're Teacher of the Year for the Douglas region, but some other family stuff here. I understand your daughter, Ray Lynn, is the valedictorian this year at Riddle Junior Senior High.
She is. She has worked so diligently through her studies. She's got great plans. She wants to be a psychologist. She is getting ready to head out to Corbin University in Salem, and she is beyond excited for this opportunity.
Hmm. Some mixed feelings there, I would think, though, about, well, not only losing her out of the house, but not getting to have did she get to deliver any kind of a valedictory speech through electronics or anything else?
She is. She will be delivering a welcome speech, two speeches. And we have something set up around our football field where people are driving in and facing inward, and we get to have a ceremony with each student getting out of their vehicles and joining us in the center of the field, just a few of us. And we're looking forward to this. We're going to be live streaming the graduation, and we have some other plans associated with it as well.
And when is that going to be?
June 6th.
All right, coming right up then, the end of next week. Wow, okay. So, Jordan, I want to come back to you and talk about transitions. I mean, how do you end a school year that pretty much ended in person 2 months ago?
Yeah, that's kind of the big question right now. I know for our schools, we have a moving on ceremony. Typically, it's, you know, everybody comes in, the school comes in, the fifth graders are there, their parents are there. We have, you know, call the kids up, hand them a little certificate, they get their photo, we do some other awards, and then that's the end of the day. And obviously that's not possible physically. I believe our plan right now is to do it virtually. We're going to film the ceremony as if there were students, and that's going to be live streamed to, I think it's the Google Classrooms or on YouTube, one of the two. And then from there, we've got a parade of graduates for the high schoolers, you know, the Riverside students that came, the graduating seniors that were Riverside students come back to the school and, you know, typically paint their hand and put their handprint on a wall with their graduating class year. I know that that's still going to happen. I don't know when that's going to happen, though, because of all of this. And then, yeah, we've got a couple drive-by parades planned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had one earlier just to kind of say hello to all the students where, you know, we have a big turnaround. Our parking lot kind of does a big lap around the building, honestly. And the teachers just kind of line the sidewalks with balloons and signs, and families drove by and waved and honked, and you know, so I know we're planning on doing something like that for our, especially our, or at least our fifth graders, just as a send off. It's like what you said. It's weird. Physically, the school year ended in March, and
you're trying to get some sort of a rite of passage here in some way that includes everybody. Yeah, it's tricky.
Exactly.
Tricky, yeah. At best. Thoughts, Jordan, about this fall and what school might look like?
Yeah, you know, that's that also is a big question. I know I was in on a call with ODE on Friday, and they were gathering information and feedback from people, and I don't know what it's going to look like, honestly.
Because the governor has, in fact, banned large groups anyway from gathering through September. So, I mean, that doesn't necessarily negate classroom meetings, but there's stuff to consider.
Yeah, there. And I know, I mean, with my content group, the team that I work with at our district, we've started having discussions about trying to plan for how this is going to look. You know, is it going to be an every other day you're at school, the other day you're at home doing remote learning? So how do we modify what we do to make that work? Do we change from a physical education curriculum to more of a wellness focus, you know, having in-person lessons be physical education and then remote be more health education oriented? Mm-hmm. You know, just trying to think tank all that and figure all that stuff out so we can be prepared for whatever it is that's coming our way. But yeah, I mean, the thing that I try to keep in mind is that even from this, there's growth and there's positive things happening. You know, we as a content group get to work together, and that's something that we don't normally get to do, and get to grow together and work together and just learn all this stuff together. And I think that as long as we keep that in mind, no matter what happens here in the fall, we're going to be okay.
Yeah, and the kids get some lessons in watching the adults problem solve as well. Beverly, exactly. Scott, what's happening in Riddle about next year?
Much with what Jordan said, we're looking at too. I've been in different meetings, and we just don't know what's going to happen. And I get asked almost every day about what it's going to look like, and we just don't know. I'm hoping, though, that we're going to have just more opportunities to collaborate with other school districts and other teachers over this time and really find the best solution, not only for our district, but for our region.
All right. We're talking to our Regional Teachers of the Year finalists for the state of Oregon. Beverly Scott from the Douglas region. She teaches life sciences at Riddle Junior Senior High School. Jordan Werner for the Southern Oregon region, which is Jackson, Josephine, and Klamath counties, teaches physical education at Riverside Elementary School in Grants Pass. A pleasure to talk to you both. Best of luck in the State Teacher of the Year naming this fall, and good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right,
thanks for having me.